Okay.
Bow, bow, bow.
Greetings.
Greetings.
And salutations.
Greetings, Earthlings.
This is the Vital Check Show.
The Vital Check Show.
With your friendly neighborhood MD.
And your friendly neighborhood DJ.
Dr. Joe and DJ Critical.
Hi, guys.
Hi, greetings. Welcome back. Look at this. We are 2 for 2 so far.
2 for 2.
So far.
By the Knicks.
And the what?
The Knicks. Well, they're like, at this point, they're, 2-1? They lost.
Well, by the time this gets released, I don't know what their record will be.
Hopefully, they'll be 4-1. 4-1.
And they would have won the series.
Yes.
I don't know. We'll see.
Oh, 4-2. They need to be 4-something, because I'm not a Knicks fan, but...
First of all, we were 4. That's how we got round one.
It's always 4. You have to win 4.
Oh.
It's the best out of 7.
Oh, sorry. Whoopsie doodles.
Yeah, so I'm not a Knicks fan, but I'm just rooting for them, because I'm from New York. So, yep, there it is.
However, I am concerned our injury list is kind of growing.
Is New York a bus?
Yeah, I'm telling you, the energy. But guess what? Speaking of basketball, you are looking at season ticket holders for the WNBA New York Liberty team.
How did you get that?
Easy. I went to one game. They reached out like, hey, we saw you. You always come to our game. I'm like, always? I came to one game.
They gave
game.
You a good price?
Dude, the difference in pricing between the NBA and the WNBA is insane. So my daughter... naturally is a New York Knicks fan because her and her father bond excessively over basketball.
Okay.
Right, she knows the roster for the Knicks. Like
at 4.
5.
At 5.
Well, like she knows 4.
She's like 4. Yeah.
4 players.
Oh. And okay, more than you.
Oh, for sure.
Right? Okay.
So, I mean, I've been watching, but we watched the NCAA tournament, mostly women. She loves Caitlin Clark. But I told her maybe there's other women to love, too.
Yeah, but she's doing the thing.
Yeah. No, she is. We watched the WNBA draft. Mm-hmm. Like, we are basketball household. Yeah. So anyways, so the ticket office for the New York Liberty reached out. We're like, hey, we saw you went to many games. But again, we went to one game. Are you interested in our packages? Let me tell you. It is $50 a game. 5-0.
But where is the seat?
At the first level, behind the hoop.
Oh, wow.
Yes.
I'm going to go.
You should. If we have an extra ticket, come along. I'll send you our package.
No, I want to go with a date.
Well, then too bad.
I mean, I could go with y'all, too. But, like, sorry, if there's a game that y'all can't, if there's a game that y'all can't make, I'll make it a date night.
Yeah, sure. Ellie the Elephant, like, my favorite mascot in all of life. Like,
oh, yeah, she gets down.
She gets busy, okay? So, anyways, we are now...
season ticket holders for the New York Liberty. That's awesome.
It's pretty cool. It's pretty dope. Excited to see the games.
During the playoffs... No, it was, like, right before the playoffs. I went to Milwaukee to see the Bucks and the... who did they play? The Bucks and the Lakers. I thought it was LeBron was going to play, but he didn't play. But I literally went to Milwaukee for 24 hours.
Oh, that's cool.
Like... I seen Damian Lillard.
Oh.
It's cool. They lost.
He aged very well.
Yeah. It was like double overtime and everything.
Oh my.
Like it was like 2 overtimes.
Whoa.
But yeah, which was double overtime. But I literally flew to Milwaukee, went into my hotel, took a shower, got some snacks, went to the arena, left the arena, got some food, went back to my hotel, went to the airport.
Wow. It's nice to be single without any responsibilities.
Yeah. I'm taking full advantage of that now because you never know, you know, just...
Yeah, because things change when other people come around. But the cool thing is about also being a New York Liberty ticket holder is that the first Dominican woman drafted is coming to New York.
For real? What's her name?
Esmeri Martinez.
Very Dominican.
So yeah, we're waiting for her jersey to drop so we can buy one for Val so she can rep DR. Because, you know, she says she's Dominican Republican.
Oh, man.
My baby reps DR like she was born there.
That's what's up. Has she been?
when she was like 1 year old, but she hasn't been.
Oh, guess what? I don't think I told you.
Chicken butt.
Well, yes, that. And I am, by the time this comes out, I am currently a dual citizen holder.
Wow.
So I am a citizen of
the nation America. Of Jamaica.
Yeah, and Jamaica.
Wow, congratulations.
And I have a Jamaican passport.
Look at that.
So combination. You can... Yes.
So now you can smuggle through the borders.
Hey. I'm just preparing for what happens in November.
Oh, yeah, you know. But, you know, it is important to vote in your local elections.
Yes.
Please, because people don't realize that your local elections actually dictate a lot of what is going on, especially
in your community. Yep.
Mm-hmm. And we will touch on it very lightly in this upcoming episode. I mean, in this episode, but, you know, things like abortion rights, you know, our local elections. So.
Yeah, I remember one time, like, I had like a pregnancy scare. That was like scary. Mm-hmm. Like, obviously, that's why it's called a scare. But,
sorry, I'm so parched.
Yeah, it's fine. And it's when you get the text of like, hey,
I missed my period.
I'm late. And then I'm like, all right, like, what does that mean? And it was like, yeah, just letting you know. And I'm like,
use a daddy.
Nope, because I wrap
that
it up.
That was a lie.
Yep. Wrap it up. Oh, that was just, it was a stressful 48 hours.
Yeah, so, you know, definitely, like, we have to move the masses. But, you know, honestly, well, the elections are not really excited about them. But anyways, let's start this episode. So what's our humble brag for today?
I think that we should talk about an individual that hasn't been on the earth for that much time, but yet has accomplished so much grandiose things in the very short time they've been here. Like, they've superseded expectations.
Oh, gosh. Jeez.
They've reached pinnacles.
Oh, Lord.
That are unheard of.
Oh my gosh.
That very a very small percentage of people have reached these heights. Sometimes they only count 40 of them. There's only 40 of these very very special
Lord.
Group of people, and I have the pleasure,
oh gosh,
of co-hosting with one of them, Dr. Joe.
Oh gosh,
is part of the 40-40 club, and not that 40-40 club.
It's closed.
That
I never
that
went,
used to,
man.
Yeah, you never went there. I've been never. There tons of times. It's a great club. Mm. But Forbes lists, and you know when you say Forbes, you're talking about something exquisite.
I'm not on the Forbes list.
It's not Forbes?
No, let's be what clear.
40? So which 40 out of 40 list are you on? 40 under 40.
DJ Critical, how you fumble the humble?
Fumble the humble. That's a new one. I like that one. Because I know the Forbes one.
I am not on the Forbes. But maybe one day, God willing, I only have like 4 years to make it to that list. But no, thank you. I appreciate
yes, my
the
humble
build-up.
Grab is Dr. Joe because she's 40 under 40.
For something. It's just something. Not Forbes.
Not Forbes.
I am, I was honored.
Honored. You got another award. What does your award mantle look like? Like, you have, like, a case?
No, I put it in, like, a drawer.
You have a drawer.
Yes.
A drawer of awards. Just.
Even, like, so, actually, last week I had to, or this week I was dusting my shelves, and I was like, I need to put more of Mr. Dr. Joe's stuff up here because it's a little crowded with my stuff.
Yeah, but so. A little crowded. But it's way more yours, so it's like rightfully
but,
so.
But,
like,
he deserves to be honored.
He's
as
accomplished
well.
Things, yeah.
Right? So I, you know, I had to take some stuff off the shelf.
Just make a little room. Like the
stuff.
Older ones, like the ones, the not so recent ones, when you got like
yeah,
when you first started out.
Yeah.
Like, all right, we can just put those
put
in the drawer.
Away. Yeah, yeah. Right, like, you
know. I don't have a drawer for a war. Last award I had was like graded like perfect attendance in like junior high school or something.
Oh, oh my.
Okay. Or like my like region certificate. Like,
oh, I have had one of those too.
Of course, I know you do.
So essentially, the National Hispanic Medical Association, I was the first class, so the 2024 40 Under 40 Award, and that's given to folks who demonstrated unwavering dedication to serving the community.
Besides the the acclaim, what else happens? Like, do you get like a monetary gift?
No.
Do you get like?
I had a complimentary gala ticket.
Oh, but will you be like invited to like speak at certain things? And
I mean, they did invite me to kind of be a social media ambassador for them. But
paid?
No.
Oh yeah, no. Like, why don't people want to pay people for things? Like,
I mean, I don't know. It was very vague, but they didn't really say it. They didn't bold
specify if it was. They would like it to be on a volunteer.
They said it was worded as like an exchange.
Oh, we honored you. Do this for us.
And I was like, oh, I don't know if I have.
No, you don't have. You have too much on your plate already.
Yeah. So I mean, it was dope. I, Mr. Dr. Joe and I drove 24 hours to DC.
Why did it take that long?
Because a lot of we went to DC for 24 hours.
Oh,
because
I'm like, it does not take 24 hours to get to DC. 4 hours. Trust me, I've done it.
So we went to DC for 24 hours.
You went to DC for 20. Okay, got it. You did a little Milwaukee thing.
Yeah, exactly. Except I drove. I've never been to Milwaukee, but we'll see if my poster gets accepted. I might be
poster.
Yeah. Okay.
You do so many things. Like, I learn about it in real time. Like, what poster did you submit?
So, I don't know if I've spoken about it before, but essentially, I, with the help of others and folks from Seattle, created this quality improvement project to advance equity in the field of pediatrics.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So, and again, EDI right now is also at a very critical point because, again, more local legislation, as like our beloved state of Florida and other people, forgot the senator's name.
Florida is wilding out.
Who are like anti-wokeness, whatever that means, anti-EDI. And the senator recently proposed universities are going to lose for universities to lose federal funding if they have like EDI. So it's just like EDI is really hopeless now. So although the pendulum is swinging back for EDI and it's no longer like the it thing, because again, it rose to EDI was at the forefront during the George Floyd movement, and now again because all this new legislation is coming out, and presidents of universities are getting fired for their stances, like the work is still important. So with that work, I got into my second year of my project, and we got some data. And when for projects in the academic world, you create posters, academic posters.
Okay.
And you submit your abstract to different conferences. So we submitted our poster to two organizations. What state is Milwaukee in?
Wisconsin.
Oh, so I'm not going to Milwaukee. I'm going to Minnesota, God willing, if my poster gets accepted.
Okay.
But is Wisconsin next to Minnesota?
I am horrible with geography. Wisconsin. All I know is I got the Timberwolves there.
Oh, my gosh. Where? Yes. So Minneapolis is close to Wisconsin.
Yep, Minneapolis.
Yes. But not to Milwaukee. So, anyways, they're neighbors. Minnesota and Wisconsin are neighbors, okay? So, anyways, yeah. So, I'm just trying to...
Congrats!
Expand and trying to see, like, where my passion lies, you know?
Big things, as always. It's just, just always raising the bar. Just
trying to leave a legacy on this earth, but we'll see.
No, you're doing a good job. Like. Trailblazing.
I don't know about trailblazing, but definitely...
No, you're the first class first of the class 40 of under 40.
Yeah, that's true.
That's trailblazing.
I guess so.
Yeah. So look there. There you go. just downplaying your accomplishments and things. Like, it's big.
But thank you. I appreciate you.
Yeah, and then, you know, you got a podcast. Like,
how many resuscitated?
How many people are, you know, 40 under 40 and they got a podcast?
I don't know. I'm sure many, the influencers.
Nope, not too many of them. Not on that.
All right, can we move along from this humble brag? I don't have attention on Temi. Thank you very much. Okay, so what do we have for Critically Single? What are we going to chat about today in your complicated yet simple single life?
I feel like dealing with people that, like, they, like, the way they, it's the way they do things. It just, sometimes, you know, the kids call it an ick.
Oh, I've heard ick.
Yeah, that's like the TikTok term.
Oh, I don't really watch that generation's TikToks, but I've heard of the ick.
Yeah, so it's like, you know, just icks that people do that, or your partner or somebody who you're dealing with that just like, oh, this. Just dealing with it.
So just dealing with people's...
people's icks. Or your icks. Yeah.
When you don't necessarily have those icks.
No. Yeah, when you don't... yeah, when you yourself don't have that ick, it's just icky. I call it grinding gears. You ever seen, like, Family Guy and, like,
no. Peter...
you never seen Family Guy?
I've watched Family Guy. It's just not my cup of tea.
You like more of The Simpsons?
I don't like The Simpsons either.
You don't like... you like Boondocks?
I don't really like cartoons. Especially the adult ones. Like, the thing like is, American I'm too concrete. Dad. Everything goes over my head. Like,
oh, yeah. You kind of
have to know. I don't understand. Like,
I don't understand.
I always lose in trivia when it comes to this character in The Simpsons. Negative. I don't know anything about Family Guy or The Simpsons.
Yeah, so just dealing, just noticing icks. Just noticing that there's certain things that your partner or your significant other does that you don't necessarily like align with, and just how, just getting over it, or not even getting over, just coming to terms with that and just understanding, well, you know, that's them. Like, you, if you love someone or you like them and you just decide to be with them, like, you have to take them as a package, like, as a whole. Like, you can't just dissect them and, like, create the ideal person for you.
Yeah, but it also depends on what you value and what is important to you, right? So if that ick is against, like...
your morals, compass?
Right.
Or just your thought of... your train of thought, like, the way you think about things?
More like moral compass, right?
Question.
Like,
all right, so say if there's somebody that, say you're having a conversation with your significant other about possible places that your hypothetical future child may, like, go to school, and they're, like, on one side of the spectrum, and you're on the other side of the spectrum.
That's me and my husband.
Really?
Yeah.
You want to... all right. Explain.
Okay. So obviously, again, I'm going to talk ad nauseum about this economy and how terrible it is, right? So we were ready to kind of... that's another thing that kind of happened in this hiatus. We actually put a bid for an apartment. Now, the problem is... I have an ideal of what I think I want my house to be, and typically that house exists in very rich neighborhoods, right? Mm-hmm. And the problem is that, one, these rates are out of control, right? With, even with like an 800 credit scores, my rate was a 7.1, right? And that adds a significant amount of money to what my mortgage is. Mm-hmm. So maybe during the pandemic, I could have afforded a $1.1 million house, but now I can't, right? Like, I could barely afford a $600,000 house. Now, the problem is affordability typically exists in neighborhoods with not great schools districts.
Correct.
Right. And if I want to build a retirement plan, if I want to, you know, not live paycheck to paycheck and have to like force ourselves to take second jobs, we have to live in an affordable zip code. Now, luckily, where we live has a gifted school. However, if it didn't, right, we were looking at the neighborhoods we would go for it. And again, it was make or break. Like, my husband, like, this has a lot of potential. I'm like, I don't care. Right? Because my daughter is brilliant and these are underperforming school districts. So then I'm like, all right, let's pay for a private school. Mm-hmm. So even yesterday, I sent my husband an IG post of like the top wealthiest black neighborhoods. And we were seeing that the median income was like 100, 200. When that's like, that's not high at all.
Right.
And then I was reading through the comments and they were like, yeah, but do those people actually send their kids to the public schools?
Also,
right. So like I'm rushing to afford a home to call my home, which mm-hmm. it will never be my home with these mortgage rates. Right. So that I can compromise on my child's education. Because what happens is, let's say you can make it to the rich neighborhood, your taxes
is also out the wazoo.
Because the taxes are paying for that excellent for that education.
School. Yep. Mm-hmm.
So that's where like we're at a turmoil. I'm just like, listen, I don't want to move if I can't get a good school district. Because at the end of the day, we're gonna break even. Whether I pay more in housing.
Yeah, one way or another at some
to go to
juncture,
public school,
yeah.
Or I'm paying less in housing and paying
for private school
tuition. $40,000, $50,000, $60,000 in elementary education.
You just homeschool.
I don't have patience.
Okay.
I don't think she can. I cannot. Mm-mm. No, thank you.
Yeah. So, well, those. So, what was the. What did he. What was his.
His thing is like, we're both public school education right. products, and we turned out fine. But we turned out
that's
fine.
That's what I think. That was my whole thing. I'm like, I went to public school, and I'm like, terrific. So, like.
Terrific.
Like, why is it such a bad thing for our potential child to go to public school?
I mean, I think the notable difference happened when I went to my med school program, right? It was a BSMD program straight out of high school. And I have people from upstate. I have people from Rockland County. I have people from Long Island. Mm-hmm. And that's where I could tell the difference between my education and the Long Island folks. And given, like, I mean, we went to a specialized high school and the education was great.
Brooklyn Technical High School.
Yes. But I think still.
It's like number two, the country's best high school.
It's not number two. It's like in the 40s.
It was number two at one point.
It never was, Jason.
It was.
I'm going to Google it now.
It had to be. I seeked it.
But I think because it still builds on the elementary education.
Okay. Yeah. It starts there.
Right.
But my elementary school education was, I guess, normal, basic, like, and like I said.
Brooklyn Tech is ranked number 67 in the nation.
Well, that's like right now.
But I don't think it was ever number one or anything like that.
I said it was number two.
I don't think New York State.
Okay, not the country.
Not the country, New York State.
What number is it?
Second.
Second, okay.
I believe
okay.
That's where it
was. See, look. I don't tell you any lies.
Oh, gosh.
Just misinformed information, but it's not a lie.
So,
Yeah, but look, we both went to public schools and, like, elementary-wise, and I feel like, yes, it can be the school, but I feel like it's the individual, too. Like, if you have a gifted child, they're going to be gifted whether you put them in a cave or a private school. Like,
that's not true. I think exposure, like, is really undervalued.
Well, yeah, but what was your exposure in elementary school that made you so, like, productive, like, academic-wise? Like, what do you feel like were taught to you at that ground level that...
I mean, the thing is also, I didn't get into, like, the gifted program technically until fourth grade or fifth grade, really. And it was different. And, like, and I would see what the actually gifted kids did, like, the top of the top... their stuff, they did different trips than us. They did sleepaway camps in fifth grade. And like, their curriculum was extremely different.
Because for junior high school, I went to Philippa Schuyler. Anybody who in New York knows Philippa Schuyler is a great, great element.
I don't think it exists anymore, does it?
Of course they do. IS-383. Oh. You can't get rid of that school.
Uh-huh.
And people that went to junior high school with me, which was 5th to 8th. Well, I got there in the 6th grade. Mm-hmm. But it had a 5th to 8th. Like, there's people that specifically that I know that were just super, I wouldn't call them nerdy, but they were like really good in academics. And there was others that weren't, but I feel like for the most part, a lot of us flourished in just an array of different things. So I feel like,
But Philippa Schuyler is a gifted and talented middle school.
Yeah, you had to take a test.
That's what I'm saying. So, and again, I took
a van.
You took a van.
Yeah, like it was like obviously it's not like a zone. It's not a zone school. So like people were coming from all over the place. We had like a van, but it was like a school bus, but it was not an official school bus. It was like a dollar van.
Oh yeah. I had those too.
Yeah, that's
with my babysitter.
That's when I picked up kids and stuff and just dropped them off. But
my point is, right, like even like my daughter being a gifted and talented, like, and I sometimes I'm afraid to like verbalize like how intelligent she is. Like,
she's super smart.
We are like, reading at almost a third grade level.
Yeah, she's like freakishly smart.
And like, her teacher finally recognized that, and now she's sending like extra homework in pre-K.
Yeah, she's wild. No, you can't do that. You can't.
No, I welcome it because
no, but that
as
is
a parent,
not fair.
It's, no, she loves reading. Like,
yeah, but you can't abuse.
It's, no, she doesn't
someone.
Find it like that. She finds it fun. The extra homework is fun for her.
Well, you can't have her.
It is at her own pace.
Just doing extra stuff, and everybody is at like a.
Why not? That's what I'm saying. Like, it's so difficult. Because she is reading at close to a third grade level.
She's going to make the other people feel stupid.
And other parents are picking up and it makes me feel uncomfortable.
Exactly.
But that's their problem. That's not my problem. So my thing is, like, I just want my daughter to flourish. Like, I want her, like, I want no boundaries to hold her
but
back.
Just take her to Barnes and Noble's and give her extra books. She don't, the
we,
teacher.
We do go to Barnes
right,
and Noble. And
but
we
the
read
teacher
a lot
doesn't
of books.
Have to just, like, give her extra work.
Why not? Then I welcome it.
If she doesn't do it, then is there anything, is there a penalty?
No, she told us, do it at your own pace, no rush, this is just extra.
Okay.
So we did one packet already of 5 books. She got another 6. And that's it. And then we do
math.
And
she's in what?
Pre-K.
Wait, what books are she reading? Like Goosebumps?
No. She's not reading. I mean, she's not. It's
like Scholastic books?
It's, yeah, but it's not chapter books. It's like level 2 reading or something like that.
Oh. Okay.
Yeah,
I thought she was like reading like little novels, like
no,
The Giver.
She's not up to chapter books yet.
Tell her to read The Giver. I love that book.
Yes, that was high school, Jason.
Or like Lord of the Flies. So you gotta.
She's not.
No, if you're going to challenge her.
Yes, at appropriate developmental stage. Because The Giver is a lot of abstract thinking. Okay. Where do the old people disappear to, Jason? And The Giver.
Let her know.
I mean, she does know about that death. But anyways, my point is, like, education, like, yes, although our, you know, I think it's different because we're first generation, and mm-hmm. first generation, first children, we're kind of bred, well, my husband wasn't a first child, but, like, we're bred differently. I don't know how to explain it. Like, mm-hmm. there is something about it. But once you already went through the system, just because we happen to do well, doesn't mean that's going to be the case. And I think
yeah,
there needs to
something.
Be intentionality behind that.
There was an Instagram post of a teacher or ex-teacher that was talking about like the how remedial like school like the reading mm-hmm. is in like schools now, and like it was like she was like about to like cry.
It's
like speaking about like the how terrible, like she was like, oh, the illiteracy. She's like,
yes,
a lot of the
it's
kids
really
now,
bad.
Like, they can't, like, function. Like, they don't know how to, like, read and write properly.
The writing is misery. Misery. So, you know, and that's an important topic to also explore, you know, when you're seeking partnerships. Like, beyond just the questions of do you want children or not?
Yeah.
Right? Because, again, home ownership, and if you're thinking of children, you have to kind of think of, like, education and what that looks like. But I'm also a fierce advocate of like exposure outside of school, right? Like you're responsible as a parent.
I think that's what, well, Philippa Schuyler definitely, especially when there's children and, you know, of all different creeds, race, ethnicities, whatever, coming to that one school. Also Brooklyn Tech too, where it was like, yeah, people from all over. It just helped like transitioning like to college and stuff like that.
Yeah.
It made it very seamless. Like there was no like shell culture shock or anything of like.
And that's my fear. Like if I am pushing this private school preppy thing that costs so much money, she's probably gonna be one of few. Right? Like are they gonna torture her for her naturally curly hair? Are they gonna torture her for her skin color? Right? Her school is so diverse. Yeah,
put in karate.
And I love it. She wants to do soccer.
Put in karate too.
Yeah, we'll see. She's in enough activities, okay? She's I can barely make it to this podcast. She's
very much so, but.
But, yeah, I mean, going back to the original topic. Just make some more babies. Well, we'll see. I don't know. So, circling back to this critically single.
Yeah, so, yeah, segment, that was just one of those. That was one of many. Well, not many, but just conversations that's coming up when you're thinking about settling down, like being in like a full blown relationship.
Yeah, and I don't know if you necessarily have to accept, maybe tolerate, but again, it's very it all depends on the communication and what you as a couple, as a unit, decide.
As a unit.
You know, what. How to pivot or how to address these discordances.
Yeah, because I never made it up to this stage.
What do you mean a stage?
The stage of talking about like things like that.
Oh. Okay.
It was always a frivolous talk like, hey, what's your favorite cereal? You know.
Oh, gosh.
Well, not that frivolous, but it never has gotten to the nitty-gritty, like those deep, like those important questions.
Mm.
So yeah. When they come up, it's like,
and I think it's important to address that early, because especially as we're aging, right? We're going to see age intertwine into this conversation today.
I'm saying young. I don't know what she's talking about.
We're not getting older, DJ Critical.
I'm getting
older. We are rounding up to 40 now.
Age ain't nothing but a number.
Absolutely not. That's not what science says.
I don't
care what the billionaires are doing to defy age.
I feel young.
You could feel young, but your cells aren't young. I'll tell you that.
I'm going to... There's this procedure that I found that my where I get my facials, and it's gonna just tighten my skin, just make it a little bit less wrinkled.
Collagen infused or something, or retinol.
It's like just heat, and they just like it absorbs. It's like from the inside out, kind of thing, and it's just gonna. Like my smile lines is gonna go away.
Your wrinkles.
Any wrinkles that I have, like.
And it's not Botox.
No.
All right.
So I'll do that. I'll let you.
I feel
know.
Like with someone who doesn't stress and drink so much water, I don't think you probably need this. Like,
yeah, I don't need
procedure.
It.
Procedure.
I don't, but.
Why not?
Why not? Let's try it on for size.
All right, so. I want to pivot into our topic. Because I'm seeing a lot on Instagram and, you know, and just in my personal life, like folks now exploring, you know, cryopreservation and IVF and things like that. So I wanted to start introducing, you know, the topics that our age groups
are
discussing.
Yep. So a lot of my friends are freezing eggs.
Yes. So back in April, you know, we got to tie it to the pop culture and stuff. Mm-hmm. Adrian Bailon, shout out to the LES.
Oh, she's from 3LW.
Yeah, she was from 3LW. Cheetah Girls.
No, that was not my.
That was our generation, but.
The Cheetah Girls?
Yeah, it was actually.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
I just know her from 3LW. Well, I knew she transitioned
like Raven
into
Simone,
Cheetah Girls.
I think it was on Cheetah Girls.
I don't know.
Anyways, so yeah, so she revealed, you know, back in April that during the 6 years of trying to conceive via...
6 years?
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
Via 8 cycles of IVF and IUIs that she easily spent over $1 million.
I can see that.
And she welcomed her son via a surrogate in August of 22.
So she just couldn't carry it? Or she didn't specify what the complications were.
Right.
Okay.
And then, you know, something that really struck me was when she said, I think for myself, I thought it would happen so easily for me, and it just hasn't happened that way. So I'd like to transition into making an announcement as to why I have been MIA. Ta-da. And it is because I'm with child.
Well, you can't really see it, but she has a baby.
I am with child. He's
cooking. Yeah. Cooking up. Chefing up the baby.
So,
I don't have a baby.
And so I'm with child, and child was conceived via IVF. Mm-hmm. So I kind of want to go through that because I had very different expectations because I did IVF not for infertility purposes per se, but more so for genetic reasons. And I feel like
you want to create your own little kid. Mix them up.
It's more like inject, but chef
them up.
So, and you know, we're hoping to kind of expand on this topic because, again, I'm seeing this more and more on my timeline.
Yeah, it's more prevalent. Yeah,
and definitely. Hopefully, you know, we can invite some of our OBGYN friends to kind of.
I have really another friend. I have like probably two more people that either did it or is highly. What's the word I'm looking for?
I don't know.
Like, they want to do it.
Okay. Interested?
Yep. That one. Highly interested.
So, yeah. So, back in April. It was back in April. So, pretty much, Mr. Dr. Doe and I started this process actually in 2017 when we thought we wanted to get pregnant. So, we had gone to the fertility doctor because, again, we wanted to screen for genetic reasons. And, you know, both of us have sickle cell trait, which is prevalent in the Black and Brown communities. And my medical training scared me enough.
Yeah, like that. It's like the good and bad of like being like so well, like knowing. It's like when they say like ignorance is bliss, where it's like not being that you knew that you had like both of you had like, or you just had the wherewithal to go and go to a fertility, because I wouldn't go to any fertility. I'll just make the baby.
Well, the thing is also like, again, like I'm biased because I was in the hospital, and typically you see the worst of the worst in the hospital, right? You don't see the better side of it. But, or you know, I was already scarred by seeing the worst of worst of sickle cell. Like, you know, these poor kids and adults suffer so much. And as carriers, like, you know, we're not really symptomatic, but, you know, even like in my line of work in the schools, like some of these, it's like it's a hard disease and there's not enough advances medically, although there was a major one last year. But, you know, there's not enough money going into the research to try to do better for this disease. And I think personally, because of who it affects. So if we were to raise as much money as other diseases. That afflicts other populations, I think we would be in a different space. But again, I didn't want to take that gamble. But even then, guess what? Val was was conceived without IVF anyways. And, you know, luckily, thankfully, and gratefully, she doesn't have the disease. But this second time around, I was like, I can't.
Yeah, you can't throw the dice again.
I can't live with that anxiety again. So, you know, we started back in 2017, and that started off with just getting an ultrasound, doing hormone testing, and we did our genetic testing to make sure there isn't other stuff that we don't know about.
Right.
And actually showed up for Mr. Dr. Joe. But traditionally, folks, you know, do go seek assisted reproductive technology. That's what it's called, ART.
Assistive reproductive technology.
Yes.
All right.
Cool. When pregnancy doesn't happen after unprotected sex.
So when I want to have a child, I should call you so you can tell me about all this stuff on like fertility places and whatnot?
And I have like a running document because honestly, like a lot of folks have been asking me about it. And I was like, there you know, go. I think this is a topic that we should explore.
This is why vital check exists.
Yes. Yeah.
Check your vitals.
So typically people seek, you know, assistance once you kind of try to conceive via sex and protected sex. So I just wanted to go through the basics so that when we expand on this topic,
people, you know, have some type of like
questions and things like that. So there's kind of different ways to go about this. So in addition to having sickle cell trait, I have a condition called PCOS. And again, I've seen a lot of information on the internet about PCOS, and I'm not going to speak to details because, again, I'm going to wait till our expert friends join us on the podcast. But polycystic ovarian syndrome, I've had it since I was a teenager. Typically, like back in the days, it was like you had an ovulatory cycle. So essentially, you would bleed or menstruate without releasing an egg or without ovulating. So all your eggs kind of just collect in your ovaries.
Oh. Does that hurt?
No.
No? Mm-mm. It was just something that's just be going on.
Right. And typically, like the women are hairier, although, like, tell me a non hairy Dominican woman. I don't know.
Yeah, I was about to say that. You're Dominican.
We are hairy, okay? But yeah, so hirsutism, and then sometimes there's some degree of insulin resistance, and they might have to go on diabetic medication. So there's a number of different factors that kind of make PCOS, the syndrome. And sometimes a lot of those times, PCOS, people who have PCOS have a difficult time becoming pregnant because you're not dropping the egg. So sometimes you need the help of hormone medicines
to drop your eggs,
right? So fertility medicines, so just like hormones, sometimes folks take when they have ovulation trouble.
Mm-hmm. To like regulate their periods.
So
or ovulations.
So I needed medicine to regulate my periods. Yes. Okay. But it helps the ovaries release the eggs if your ovulation is irregular, like in my case for PCOS, or if it stops happening altogether. So, like, you know, maybe women who are entering menopause or perimenopausal or whatever different reasons it may be happening. So that's one. Two, sometimes you need surgical procedures. So some of those surgical procedures is to, like, restore your fertility. So there is a hysteroscopy where it's like to explore and possibly treat anything that's in your uterus where you carry the baby. So that could be polyps, that could be scar tissue, and depending on the size of the fibroid.
Yeah, I have a few female friends my age that's currently like going through like polyp and like fibroids.
Fibroids, and yeah. I've encountered that also a lot amongst women of color, also like fibroids. And so it could be very painful, like very painful periods and things like that. So certainly that's something that could be explored. And also laparoscopic, which is like very small holes or scars versus traditional surgery to kind of address more invasive things. So like endometriosis. Mm-hmm. So that's when the lining of your uterine exists outside of your uterus. It could be very painful periods, and a lot of the times I found in like these fertility groups, when people kind of failed these methods, they do the laparoscopic surgery and they find out that they had endometriosis. Or if you had like previous like infections, or if you had previous surgery, sometimes pelvic adhesions, and then the more larger fibroids kind of require more invasive surgery. And then lastly are the ARTs. So that's when you have egg and a sperm and you're trying to figure out what to do. So IUIs. So as simple as possible, that's your turkey baster is what people think of. Right? So you have healthy sperm. Mm-hmm. It's collected, usually tested, and then you insert it straight into the uterus.
Oh, okay.
So that's what...
just splash it in there.
Adrienne Bailon says she had countless IUIs, right? So I found, just like anecdotally, like a lot of folks, like I'm not sure, like usually they try IUIs before they go to IVF. Mm-hmm. I didn't try IUI because, again, I had to test it genetically.
Right, so you could, yeah.
So I had to create that.
Because would they be able to take the and just like pick out the ones that didn't have it, and then.
So this is where IVF comes into place. So.
Well, IVF you could do that, but not when the IV.
No. Yeah. IUI, I guess you can test the sperm, but you can't really test which like egg is individual. Dropped.
Oh, okay.
Right, so you ovulate.
So you still take in. You still wouldn't know because it's just a random egg. The sperm would be tested.
Right.
But the egg, obviously, just whatever comes down, comes
down.
So
you're just ovulating. You wait till you ovulate. The egg drops from your ovary. And then you insert the sperm with the hopes that it fertilizes.
So they can tell when it's going to drop.
Yeah, there's hormone testing.
Oh, wow.
So, you know, one of the
So it's a myth that when, like, sperm is, like, out of, like, the penis that it just, like, it's not good anymore.
No, that's not true. It lives, like, if you ejaculate into the uterus, sperm lives for more than just that moment in time.
Is that just in the uterus because it's just habitable?
Sorry, let me reframe. It's not getting into your uterus. It gets into the vagina.
Right. So it can live it. But wonder if it's, like, outside in the air, like, on a table.
So it says motile sperm can survive in the female reproductive tract for up to 5 days.
Oh. Mm-hmm. So it can live in the female's reproductive system, but just outside of that is like a no-go.
Probably not. I mean, I don't know. Where's it whipping to? Where's it swimming to? I know, because
like if somebody like the quote-unquote like turkey baster, like somebody was supposed to like say, just hypothetically, if somebody like ejaculated into something...
But then obviously there's like lab conditions, right? Like you want to preserve the sperm and then like create the embryo as soon as possible because sperm does have a
short lifespan.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So IVF. So it's, I think the hardest part for me for IVF was the egg retrieval. So there's like two major steps with like so many little steps in between.
Mm-hmm.
So the first half, I would say, was getting your eggs out, right? So you are injecting a boatload of hormones so that all your eggs get big at the same time, right? With a menstrual cycle, typically it's like one follicle.
It's like egg steroids.
Yes. So it is egg steroids. So literally you feel like you are carrying a child when you're doing this process. That's how much pressure I felt.
Oh, just making the eggs bigger?
Making the eggs all big, right? And again, because I had PCOS, my reserves were on the larger side. Versus like when you get older, your reserves might be depleted, or there's people who have low ovarian reserves, right?
So they were just, everything was growing, like all of it.
Yeah, so your ovaries like,
it was on overdrive.
I think like double or triple in size. Like they get humongous. So you feel this pressure. So at this point, you can't exercise, you can't jump because they're so big, you don't want your ovaries to twist on themselves. So you gotta chill out during these injections.
Wow.
Yeah. So ironically enough, I went on Easter Sunday egg hunting. And, you know, my numbers were a little nuts because, again, I had a PCOS, so I had a lot of eggs in my ovaries. 32 were like taken out. Right? So the eggs are taken
from
your
ovaries. But that's good to collect though, because that's a good amount to.
It's a lot typically, but it's what comes after.
It's a good sample size. Okay.
Because you don't, like, how many survived was really scary. So I was like feeling good about myself. I'm like, oh my gosh, I got 32 out. Like, this feels good. Like, you know, okay, maybe we have a good shot. But let me see. I lied. I had 39 eggs. Oocytes. Right? So then you have the egg, and then you need to fertilize it with the sperm.
Yes.
And basic biology or genetics, I guess, egg plus sperm equals embryo, which becomes a fetus.
Yes.
Okay. So of the 39 that they took out of me, 22 were mature enough.
Okay.
And those were injected with the sperm.
Right.
Then.
So they took like little sample sizes of sperms and just injected them to all 29 eggs?
So that's called ICSI.
Okay.
So ICSI, So the way it's explained to me, and I have to Google what the other terminology is for the other method, is either you take one egg, one sperm, inject the sperm to the egg, and that's what I needed to do because, again, I'm genetic testing.
Right.
Versus you do an egg, put a bunch of sperm, whoever wins, wins.
Gotcha.
The reason I couldn't do that is because once it grows, and I call them sperm carcasses, but once it grows, you're testing that outer layer for the genetic, whatever genetic
whatever
issues like, you're looking for. And it's hard to tell, is it the actual embryo or is it the other sperm that didn't make it?
Gotcha.
Versus the ICSI, which is intracytoplasmic sperm injection or something. One sperm makes it to the egg.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And it, you know, the cells proliferate and they make the embryo. Okay.
So you know for a fact which cell it was, like which sperm it was, because it was labeled.
Or you had one.
Yeah.
Okay. So.
It's like you have like a herd of sheep. And you just like tag each one of them.
Like, yeah, with a little off-white tag.
I'm visualizing.
So they go to the lab and they develop into embryos. So again, they had to test mine for our sickle cell because obviously I wanted to either have trait or no disease. Okay. So of the 22 that were injected with sperm, 19 fertilized normally and were cultured in the IVF lab. So by the time, so usually you need like 5 to 7 days of growth to be able to test it.
Okay.
And we'll talk about the testing on a whole nother day. And of the 19, 7 survived.
Oh, wow. So you went from 39.
39. To seven. And that's the scary part. And of the 7, 3 were genetically not okay.
Oh, so like, was
chromosomally. Not even the sickle cell part.
Oh, wow.
So that's the scary part. I'm like, I'm here thinking I'm good because I'm not that old, but I'm kind of, you know, young. But no, like, that's separate from the sickle cell.
Now you got me thinking.
So now I only have really... Then there was something else wrong. So I only had 3 to choose from. And one of them was like, could happen, could not happen. So 2.
2.
At the end of the day, 2 embryos. And that was 1 cycle of IVF. And I could see like how you can spend your life's earnings.
Like a lot, yeah.
Sell your home for this process because that is terrifying. And mind you, like, insurances vary. Like, you could have an insurance that gives you a cap of an amount lifetime. Mm-hmm. There are insurances that give you a cap of cycles per lifetime. All right? So I'm fortunate that, you know, we have, you know, a good insurance. But damn.
Yeah, I feel like I want to go through it.
And I think you should, you know, and I think the reason why, like, I was shook was because, again, 3 of those had... chromosome issues. And I was like, oh my god. I mean, obviously I don't think they would be viable, but
yeah, that does give you something to think about.
Right. It gave me a different perspective. So when Adrian Bailon said, you know, I thought it would happen so easily because I said, oh, I'm not doing this for infertility reasons, right? I'm doing this because I'm doing genetic testing. Yeah. So it was, you know, it was a mind trip, you know. So with IVF, you pick your embryo, squirt, put it into your uterus. Then you have to take, now here's the second part. So then you have to take hormones to sustain the pregnancy, right? Because technically, right, let's say you did it via unprotected sex. And I'm being very mindful of saying unnatural and natural because I think it's very stigmatizing. Obviously science is I'm grateful for science and the fact that it gave us
the ability
to do these. Mm-hmm. But let's say, you know, when you conceive via sex, right, you're already producing those hormones.
Mm-hmm.
Technically, you know, you are injecting yourself hormones leading up to the implantation, But once the thing, you know, inject the embryo, you have to take hormones to sustain, just to keep the pregnancy. So that's another set of hormones.
So you're just pumped full of hormones.
So you got, and then you have to get lab testing to see if
to make sure if it's stuck. If everything is.
So to me, between like the hormones, the lab testing, like seeing my belly bruised up, my arms bruised up, like it was.
It's a lot.
It is a lot. And we had some bumps in the beginning, which again, that'll be another podcast episode, but it was, bro.
Yeah, that sounds like.
I feel for women who have to do this multiple times.
Yeah. Just hearing about it is super exhausting.
Dude, I'm telling you, I mean, and then also. And
just imagining like the act, like you actually like having to like inject yourself with the hormones.
If you didn't have like a partner like to help you with this, number one, two, a job flexible enough, because typically you have to do early morning hormones. So some clinics are open at 6:45 in the morning, right? So you have to have a job that is willing to allow you to go get these appointments every day, every other day. Everything's based on a hormone level the mm-hmm. day before. And that's the other mind part that like my next step is always contingent on an email at 2 p.m. So that, I'm telling you, the anxiety buildup was insane. Then, like, there's cryopreservation. So people, you know, as you're getting older, you may be considering freezing your eggs, your sperm, or your embryos. Then there's embryo donation. So you, like, right?
I can wait, so you can mix the sperm and the egg and just freeze the embryo?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Already?
Yes.
Why would, what's the, so you already, quote, unquote, have your baby made already. You mm-hmm. just... You just, like, have it in the freezer until you just pop it out later and put it in the oven?
Yep.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. Just different terms, right, so I can visualize.
So, like, that was one, I don't know if you remember, but like, Sofia Vergara with her first husband, I think she was married to him. Partner, like, had a lawsuit. She wanted to get rid of the embryos. He wanted to keep them. But she was no longer with that man.
Yeah, because then you could just implant that embryo into somebody
else. Into another woman.
Oh, that's freaky.
So it was a major like legal battle. I don't know. I have to look it up. But I remember that distinctly because this man wanted his embryos. And she's like, I don't want children. I was very clear. But yeah, she changed her mind, obviously. Yeah,
but she's not having them. But it's still technically hers. Wow.
Yeah. And then again, legislation is changing. Mm-hmm. And right, like, contesting like is embryo life, and I'm not going to get into that in this episode or any episode, I don't think. Mm-hmm. But really, like, there's so much has changed with IVF, with ART. So yeah, you can freeze your eggs, your sperm, or your embryos. Something that we see a lot, mostly like publicized in Hollywood because it's very expensive, is gestational carriers, aka surrogates. Mm-hmm. And then lastly, like, I can donate my embryo so someone else can have my kid, or you can donate your eggs, or you can donate your sperm. So there's a lot.
But you'll have sex or whatever, and then like just once it becomes an embryo, just give that away.
What do you mean?
You said you could donate your embryo.
Oh, but you still have to do the egg retrieval, inject the sperm.
Oh, you mean like do that and then
you can donate it to a couple? Yeah,
like if you have like more than one.
Mm-hmm. Right, so like for us, our options were...
Oh, yeah, I had two.
Well, we have the seven. I didn't do anything with the other ones, but you can donate to science for more research. You can donate to a couple.
You said you had seven, but you said some of them had...
But I wasn't going to use those. Well, I mean...
Yeah, no, but you said you were down to two good ones.
Yeah.
And you obviously used one.
Right.
So where'd the other one go? Dumped it?
No, it's in the lab. It's frozen. Really? Yeah, it's stored.
Oh, so you stored it. How long does that last?
As long as you pay for it.
Really?
Yes.
Yep, so you have another kid just like chilling in the freezer?
Mm-hmm. Day five.
5 days old?
Well, day five, yeah.
Is it a boy or a girl?
I'm not telling you.
Oh, that's cool.
I guess, in theory, yeah.
In theory. So like, say if there's a woman that like I want to have kids with, we could just like make an embryo and then just be like, all right, we'll get back to it.
I mean, it's a...
Well, yeah, I'm very shortening the process.
But in theory.
Yes, if you guys are not ready now, you can go through the process and store your embryos. And whenever you're ready.
All right, question. Mm. You may not know the answer. So wonder if you make an embryo like the sex way without the IVF and the ASR.
ART. IVF isn't ART.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Well, assistive reproductive
technology.
Technology, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. So you can extract the embryo?
No.
You can't. So once it's embedded in the uterine lining, that's done.
Right. Because the placenta has to attach. I mean, it takes a while for the placenta to build, but...
Yeah, but I'll say it was like...
A couple weeks.
Because you... Yeah. Is there any way where you can do that? And say you take a... Say...
Like, no.
No, no, wait, all right. Say you're late on a period, right? And you take a pregnancy test. And then it comes back positive. Can you extract that?
That is called an abortion, Jason.
So you can't take it out and like
grow it? Absolutely not.
And just like free, like chiral. You can't like cryogenics.
Cryogenics?
Yeah, that stuff. You can't freeze it?
No.
But that's essentially what's going on. But they just do it in a lab.
No. So the whole reason you have to take hormones for the second half of IVF is because the placenta has to create itself or something like that.
Oh, so you're steroiding it so like, hey, this wasn't originally made here, so exactly. Let's attach it.
Right.
So when you have sex and it's already made there, you can't clip it and just chill and just put it on the freezer.
I mean, I would have to ask. I have to review embryology to kind of determine, but I'm pretty sure like the reason why you follow, so after implantation you follow with REI for 8 weeks is because you're waiting for your placenta
to attach
to form.
Right.
And start taking over your hormones, like produce the hormones themselves. Naturally.
Because it's telling your body like, hey, we have a baby in here.
Yeah.
Get all the tools, pack your bags, let's go.
This is home now.
This is, okay.
Not a cold lab.
Right.
Or a test tube.
Yes.
So like, it's funny because the day of implantation, I got a little petri dish where he grew, or it grew, oops. And then a little pipette where he was stored.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it's crazy. So
that sounds expensive.
Yeah, no. I mean, again, luckily we have great insurance. But if you have questions, this was just the tip of the iceberg.
Yeah, don't ask me.
Because there's a lot going on. But, yeah, just wanted to share the good news.
Congrats!
And we will share more details later because I don't really like announcing things.
You
until
don't.
I feel certain.
Yeah, because I didn't confident. Find out until like today.
Until I walked with my belly.
I'm like, hey, you look.
You look a little plump.
Yeah.
Your midsection is a little rounder.
Yeah.
But that's my random act of kindness for today. Is mind your business, okay? No, honestly, like really going through this process, like really humbles you into what women go through.
Absolutely.
Or partners, right? Because you know, same-sex couples, if they want to conceive, can also, this is an alternative for them to adoption or fostering. And this is again, I was very humbled with this process. Mm-hmm. And you know, when people ask you when are you going to have your next kid, like you don't know how long people have been trying, right? Like this was a year-long process with like hiccups that scared the bananas out of me.
Mind your business.
Random act of kindness is really like, stop asking people.
Yes.
About their.
First of all, stop asking me when I'm gonna get a girlfriend.
Or when you're gonna get married.
When I'm gonna get, yeah.
We gonna marry, we gonna have kids. Like, yo, don't do it.
I know somebody who's like that.
Don't do it.
And I'm like, I don't know. Like,
I used to say when in my youth, I don't say anything anymore. I don't even assume. You might look pregnant. You might be waddling like a pregnant person until you tell
me
you're pregnant.
Somebody who got fired because of that. Like, they assumed that somebody was pregnant and they had like a disorder where they just had like a protruding.
Cushing's?
don't know what it was. Mm. And they took him to HR and they fired him.
Yeah, so like, you know.
And they said something like, oh, congratulations, or when are you expecting, when is the due date? And then the woman was like, I'm not pregnant.
Yeah, like, this is, you know, stop assuming. Don't ask.
Yeah, don't
just
ask
wait
me
till people share, because again, like, you don't know what people are going through, how long, you know. Again, I went to a group for IVF, or like a
you went to like a IVF AA.
Yeah, what's it called? Like, not a focus group, but like a help group. What's the name?
IVF Anonymous.
No, and let me tell you, Pregnancy Brain was so bad. Support group. Gee, Willikers.
It was the
IVF support group. And I'm here, like, right, like, crying about what happened to me. And then when I hear
the other stories,
I'm just like, wow, thank you, God. Like, God is good. All the time, okay?
God is good.
But so with that, like, you know, again, be kind to yourself, be kind to your neighbors, be kind to others. Mm-hmm. And until next time.
This was very informative.
1.5 Dr. Joe and TJ Critical.
We're here.
Adios.
See ya.
Bye.